Hello everyone. So I think it's time to start this annual Pearl Buff. So Integri is going to note taking. I will check IRC for people that are not here. Hi, people that are not here. So maybe on IRC, people here for the buff can wave or something. Oh, there's no stream. There should be a stream. Oh, you mean maybe Gregor means the stream with the screen. Okay. We, of course, have to handle the fact that the RSC is faster than the stream, so question will be maybe, or comment might be flowing a bit later. Hey, Grégoire. Okay, so maybe the time difference with the stream is a bit high. Okay, so Grégoire was nice enough to prepare most of the Gobi documents. And okay, maybe we can start with the start of the Gobi document. So, welcome again. Maybe everyone wants to present themselves. Well, I can start. So I'm Clément Nodens, and well, I'm quite new in the team. I think I joined maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that. And I'm not a DD, but well, I try to help where I can, and I also maintain a particular applet.
Intri. Knock, knock. Hi, I'm Intri. I joined the team a while ago, and I'm mostly focused on removing crappy packages and maintaining what you need to develop applications using modern GNOME technologies in Perl and in lightweight, modern, object-oriented, and type validation systems for Perl, along with a little bit of compile flag hardening and reproducible builds. And
my name is Takatsu Nokubi. I mainly maintain about Japanese text processing modules like NKF or Kakashi. Almost module depends on other shared objects, so it is not it requires some architecture dependency.
So it's my turn. Well, I'm just Dan. I'm just your average lowest level Perl user. originally wouldn't be using. I'd be using Python like all the young people, but I couldn't get the Python to fit on the one liner in the main make file, so I end up using Perl, and now it's too late.
Hello, I'm Rhonda. I'm using Perl since HS, like last century. I never really was directly part of the Perl team, but more or less always scanning around, and I'm maintaining the IRC pod for DevConf, which is written in Perl. And I'm starting a new job in September, which also will contain a lot of Perl, so I maybe be more tightly connected in the future.
Apparently, no one wants to introduce themselves in on IRC. Maybe we'll. Well, you can come back to that if needed.
Just for the sake of people here on stream who don't follow IRC, we have a bunch of people there: Carnil, Dem, Gregor, Nicotini, and Xavier Guimard.
Here's my issue. My issue is, see, I use both the experimental and the unstable Debian versions. And all the time, every time I use Aptitude, there's always some gunk about Perl not being fully ready to get installed. Only about half the days of the year is it finally all up to date. Otherwise, there's always some holding pieces falling back, and I was hoping you got to get your act together and update the whole thing at the same time and not have pieces dragging around, so it's always having some gunk and Aptitude is not resolved. Is there any possibility you could please do that?
Can't say he had the same issue, but okay. Maybe that would be interesting to specifically say, well, whenever it happens to you, maybe note it, file a bug somewhere, or talk about it on IRC.
I did, and they said that because I use experimental, I should be used to the problem and not complain about it.
I suspect it's because when a new major version of Perl, like right now 5.28, is prepared, it's a transition, and the transition is prepared in experimental. And when it's ready, and the most of the issues have been fixed, then it's uploaded to SID and then started. The migration process, transition process to toward testing is started. So it's kind of on purpose that this is a place where issues are identified and fixed before they affect everybody else.
Okay.
And Tini is also commenting with regard to Perl and experimental, so it's not really feasible to have all the 600 or so Archeny packages rebuilt in experimental at the same time. So yeah, that's mainly the issue. Okay, so this year we had a couple sprints, one in Hamburg during Mini DevConf. And the other one during DevCamp, right before DevConf. So the report, has been written, is available. So the sprint were mainly, so in Hamburg, three people attending to plan for the Perl 5.28 transition. Add some OTPKG tests or fix it when it does not work and so that they don't harm testing migration. Try to fix a few bugs currently and mostly move to Salsa, That was very big. Most of the work, apparently. Sadly, I did not attend. Okay, no comment on RSC yet on that. And in Zurich Dev Camp, well, it was mostly. Ooh, the page has not been generated yet. Okay, so we have a problem with the report for the Dev Camp that we will fix. Well, we have the Gobi here. So yeah, it was a removal of a bunch of GTK2 dependent packages in preparation for Buster, where GTK2 will not be available. So preparing a subbug. And yeah, well, some reproducible build problems, a bunch of new upstream release. Well, the usual. Okay. Still, you have too many windows.
I'm just curious if we had an equivalent Python maintainers meeting, would there be many more people or less people than this?
Sorry, I did not quite get so you.
Today is the Perl maintainers meeting.
Yeah.
Now, say in the neighboring room there's a Python maintainers meeting, would be lots more people or less people or what?
I have no idea. I think these teams are structured, organized socially very differently. And also in terms of how the maintenance of the interpreter itself and the maintenance on the library modules are done or coordinated or working together, I think it's quite different. I'm not sure we can compare. But we later during this buff, we will provide some statistics about how many people do some metrics. Then you can ask the other guys and, okay, and non-guys how it is for them, and you can compare. I'm curious of your results.
Yeah, I'm just curious. It seems like these two things are the most closely overlapping in functionality, and I was curious if we have a new user coming in and they only have time to learn one and not the other, should they learn Python or is any? Yeah, that's.
So regarding the sprint in Hamburg, Gregor was commenting that so it was yes, three people, Dom, Antini, and him. Dom and Antini were mostly working on 5.28 release, and Gregor was mainly fixing, was fixing way too many alias to Salsa documentation things. And his feeling was it was very productive, but more people would have been nice. To which Antini agreed. And Carnil was also there, but mostly as a security print. So he was not able to contribute very productively.
And regarding DevCamp, we were maybe four people participated in person here. Very few team members attended DevCon this year for very diverse reasons.
Yeah.
And well, from my vantage point, it was also very productive and more people would have been nice.
Yes. But yeah, well, so far I think we can still say it's successful, but yeah, we need to have more people in sprints. Yeah, Gregor is commenting on the DevCamp sprint, so he tried to follow, but it was, of course, a bit difficult because he had to work and time zone difference. But it did help him and motivate him to work from home. And thank you for that, Gregor. Okay, apart from sprints, we also have low-hanging fruit session. So they happen every month on the 21st of every month. I think, if I remember correctly, yeah, the alternating, we alternate the time between. Oh, yes, looking forward. True. Okay, back to that. So, plans for next year? Well, I guess it's very probable that we will have a sprint at DevCamp. The question is, will there be another ProdStream sprint? And where and when? I think there were also people at the Snow Camp, but apparently not from the Pearl team. Okay. No proposition? Well, I know I don't have any apart from the DevCamp. It's usually really complicated for me to have another sprint during the year. Let's see if we have. Ah. Yeah, Grigor has a bit, has a streaming problem. Well, not problem, but delay.
I won't do any logistic work, and it's unlikely I manage to attend, but I feel that, it's easier, and it probably increases the chances that more people can attend by piggybacking on an existing event like was done in Hamburg.
Yeah, okay. So Gregor is saying that there will be another mini DevConf in Hamburg. So yes, that's a very good candidate for having a sprint. For people that can go there. And it will happen early June at the Pentecost weekend. So from 5th to 9th, apparently. But that has to be verified. You can probably ask Holger. You would know about it. So Anthony said that having the sprint at Hamburg worked quite nicely to him, but a separate sprint would be fine for him. Well, I personally think it's easier to gather people if there's also another event. I agree with you. And Gregor agrees with Anthony. Okay. So low-hanging fruit session. So the LHF sessions happen each month on the 21st, alternating between 5 UTC and 7 UTC. Well, 17 and 19 UTC. So of course, times of difference. We alternate because we realized it's even if most contributors and participants of the team are in Europe, it might be easier for some if it's at 5 UTC, even if it's maybe, well, I know it's harder for me when it's at 5 because I'm usually not out from work. But well. Did anyone here, well, beside me, attended at least one LHF this year? I don't recognize any Nick. Okay, no. So this year, 10 happened. 2 were canceled for lack of participants. In the 2 previous year, it was 8 happening in 2015, 2016. And 2 canceled, and in 2016-17 it was 11 happening and 2 canceled. So 10 this year is not too bad. It's in the, we're in the middle on average. And the other side, we have the participation is getting lower because we have an average of 3 participants, and in 2015-16 it was 625 participants and 572 in 2016-17. So yeah, all in all, so the topics are, it's low-hanging fruit. So we try to do all the maintenance stuff, that, the things that needs to be done regularly, new option release, adopting package, fix bugs, add auto PKG tests, and sometimes different stuff like QA cross packages. Or it's a discussion like this year, it was a lot about migration to Salsa, which was also a lot of work. So next year, well, I think we should continue and maybe try to recruit more people. Maybe start on the time they happen. I mean, we do that on the 21st of each month. That way it's not always the same day of the week, so there's more chances. If you can't a specific date, you can another day. Anyone having any comment on that? Do we continue like we do? I'm okay with that, but even if the timing is not perfect for me, it means I can at least attend a few per year.
I didn't manage to attend any last year, but just being able to read the report, the list of things that people have worked on has helped me keep in stay in touch with the team and helped me motivate myself to do some work in the following days after the session I had missed. So even for people who are not here, it might be useful.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, I mean, if it's too frustrating to have these with only so few people or depressing, I won't be the one blocking if I decide to stop them.
Okay. And Tini is okay with the current scheduling? Dan says a fixed schedule with alternating hours seems to work nice. And Gregor says for him, 21st is fine. So I guess we have a consensus on keeping things as they are. Okay. But Gregor is also wondering if we should change to one fixed time. Yeah, well, I've personally no strong feeling about it. Well, I know that it did happen often for me this year that it was either the wrong day or the wrong time. But I mean, that's just bad luck. So, yeah, I would say keep it like it, like this.
Yeah, maybe the question is whether the initial reason why we had these different times still holds. I'm not sure in terms of the current team composition, but still having different times and being open to more different time zones may help potential new members.
Exactly. It's be welcoming. And yeah, Dam is also wondering why changing to one fixed time. Gregor is fine, but he's wondering if 5 UTC is early for some. Yeah, well, I don't think we can find a better arrangement, personally. I mean, it works certain times, it does not work. Otherwise, it would have been even less participation, probably. Yeah, well, Gregor is coming to the same conclusion on RC. Okay, let's move on to team status and some stats for last year. So last year, so we have a script in the scripts repository at the root of the Perl Group Salsa project. Well, Perl Salsa group. And so we have 60 people with at least one commit in the last year. It was 58 in 2014-15, 56 in 2015-17, 54 in 2016-17. So it's pretty stable. 19 people with more than 100 commits, so yes, we can tell that it's only a third of the active people. And Usually, every year, we have another script and try to ping inactive member to ask them if they still want to be in the team. But since we moved to Salsa this year, we did move only the people that were active, so don't really need to do that. Okay, well, Gregor says that the ICS file for the LHF is good until 2038, so let's not change it. Okay, no more comment on that. So, Perl 5.28, it's in the work. So we have a bug, a transition bug, to keep track of it, 902.557, if anyone wants to have a look. We have the rebuild logs and rebuild package repo on perl.debian.net. And there's also a Gobi page in team Perl 5.28 QA coordination. So far, good, people are adding stuff on the Gobi because I did not follow that very closely. So only two non-blockers are left in UWSGI and CollectD, but no archive-wide rebuild yet due to lack of resource. This space on perl.debian.net.
Can this be fixed with Debian sponsorship?
I think that would be a good idea to at least ask.
Could the people maintaining perl.debian.net tell us if it could be fixed with Debian sponsorship?
Yeah. And there was roughly 3,000 reverse dependencies of Perl test rebuild continuously since the sprint in May. Waiting a bit to see for the streaming delay to see if someone wants to comment on RFC. Apparently not. Okay, well, we can go back to that if needed. So the next item is a migration from Aliot to Salsa. So, so we migrated in May. I think it went quite nicely. So most of the problems were actually to change all our documentation and lots of scripts that handle all the repository, and we're still kind of working on that. Gregoire was making some optimization in the Armor config, for instance. I don't know if a lot of people use Armor. I know that Gregoire and I do, to have all the repository up to date and not update all the repository every time. That which is not nice on your machine or on Salsa. We have more comment on the transition. So Anthony says we should go ahead anyway, since once the non-bugs are fixed. I'm okay with that.
And any objection? I think going ahead means uploading to seed.
Yes. So apparently no one's strongly against. And Anthony says that if we skip the full archive rebuild, it will take maybe a couple of weeks. Because both the blockers have fixes and workarounds. Okay, so maybe we could, yeah, of course it depends on the release team. But maybe we could check with Dom this this space problem, see if we can do something about it, and if it's nothing easy or trivial, let's go for it. Well, we'll put that in the report and ask for a comment on the mailing list. I mean, not everyone can attend the BOF. Other people might have things to say about that.
We have 15 minutes left.
We have
15 minutes left.
Okay. I think we're on time. So back to the migration to Alia, to Salsa. So yeah, most of I think most of our documentation, including infrastructure and stuff, is now fixed. We still have no real replacement for PET, which is a shame, but fortunately, Tracker is going to have the feature we need the most. So, you know, well, Kanashiro is monitoring Google Summer of Code. Archer to do that, and from what we saw, it looks good, so I think we will be able to manage without PET, and it will actually be better, I think. But for that, I'm personally very happy with Salsa and all the shiny new features it had. Is anyone missing something from Salsa? Something we should fix, maybe? Oh, and Gregory is saying about missing PET, please try DPT new upstream in PKG Perl Toolkit. Thanks, Gregory. I will. So, and Gregor thinks there is still a script to clean up local repos that is still tied to Alioth. FSFS script. So we have to check that. Well, do we really need it? And should we replace it?
I have no idea what it does.
Me neither. I did not even know it existed. But if help is needed on that, well, I can have a look. Oh, and Gregor is wondering if it's possible to turn off project creation via the web interface. You might be able to do that with permissions. I would have to check GitLab documentation. I'm not sure. Because, yeah, whenever one creates a project in Salsa using the web interface, it creates it all wrong. Because we have all the projects will have the same settings, and so there's a script to do that. In the PKGPL tools, it's DPT Salsa create repo. And yeah, anyone really needs to use this to create a new, whenever a new package is created.
Unless project creation does the right thing.
Yeah, well, the thing is there are It would be actually nice to disable project creation from the web, because I don't think it's possible to automate all the stuff regarding permission. It's possible to have them inherit properly, but all the settings with all the webhooks for the KGB bot and stuff like that, I don't think it's possible. And then, it's difficult to know which project, if some projects are created with a web interface, it's difficult to know which projects are okay with regard to Salsa config and which are not. I can check the GitLab thing and ask the Alio fan bins. I guess that's it for Salsa. And Gregor is commenting that the script he was talking about before creates repos, removes repos from your hard disk, which are removed from Alioth for removed package. That might be useful. Maybe we should it's especially useful for people like me who use ML and have all the repos on the disk. I mean, if people are just getting only the Git repos and they work on, then they probably don't need that. So probably not a lot of people are using that.
I'm using that, but I'm not going to invest time to optimize by 2% the MR runtime or disk usage.
Hack. Okay, so, last item. Projects for next time, items for discussion. We had ideas in the DebCam sprint, so I'm going to investigate this GitLab things to check if we can do that. There was this hardening flag status. We have in our LHF checklist, we have hardening flags items that not a lot of people know about. And every time I look at it, I have to think, what was it already? Just about adding the hardening flags to every project on Debian rules using a double prayer option. So the idea is to make that systematic. We can continue doing that as we did. That is, I do it every time I look at the package. Maybe we can do some kind of mass hardening activation. Now that Salsa is in good shape, it will probably be easier. And we definitely want to finish the removal of the libgtk2 Perl dependencies. That's on its way. So we can only hope it will be done for the freeze. There will be the patch replacement. I think next year we'll probably also have to think about the mailing list, because we have a replacement for the Alioth list, but it's normally it will, we might have to change again, switch to something else, for instance using tracker. after Bluster is released, for because we don't know how long this will be maintained. Dom was saying it will be okay to maintain it for release plus one or two, but no more. So we will have to think about that in advance, so that it's not too painful. But man, if we that can be any time for next year, buff. Personally, I have no other proposition. Let's see if they have some on RC. What happens sometimes is that with this kind of discussion actually happens after the buff when we have the report and people reply in the mailing list, which is not so bad. We have, yeah, and Tini is saying that changing the maintainer field in all our packages is going to be painful in any case. That is true. But we will probably have to do it at some point. So probably look at the options like using tracker instead of a mailing list. Gregor is asking if anyone has ideas to on how to motivate more people to run AutoPKG tests before uploading. Oh, I think maybe Intri has an idea. No. Well, we can always try to do that with a CI, but that will be painful with a lot of packages.
I don't think this will impact the problem Gregor is talking about. I think that the main problem is if Git pull, update to a new upstream release, upload, and by the time the CI would run the auto package test, the package is already accepted in unsynced. So it's, yeah. I guess that, I mean, the fact that, for example, running auto package test is a one line config setting to enable in sbuild, maybe not very well advertised, maybe. Whoever,
fix the documentation?
Whoever set this up locally could identify issues in the doc and maybe update it or improve it. I don't know. Mm. I think maybe we could start by asking people who don't do it why they don't do it. There's probably a reason. And then we'll fix it.
Indeed, we can ask on the mailing list, I guess. Does anyone use or don't use the AutoPKG test for a particular reason? The bulk packages they maintain? I know I do use it now that I have a working setup. Yeah, Dam is suggesting something triggered by an unstable commit of the changelog. I wonder if we can have a message from Salsa whenever we push, like, have you run a AutoPKG test? And trigger is pushing to Earth is a demonstration of using the GitLab pipelines and the CI. But yeah, as he was saying, it might happen too late often. I mean, the default OpenKG tests we have are not very complicated or anything, but they are still useful. Okay.
Thanks everyone for participating, and thanks especially to those who were in Europe and had to wake up at crazy hours to attend remotely. Thank you.
Thank you.